Welcome to the Today's Leader podcast. Building tomorrow's best leaders, today.
Way to go, guys. Way to go. Keep it going. Good job, guys. All right, Paul, I see you. All right, John, let's finish. Coach Carl.
And it's my pleasure to welcome to the Today's Leader podcast, Building Tomorrow's Best Leaders Today. Please welcome the author of Find, Fix and Fill Your Leadership Gap, Candace Gottlieb Clark. How are you today, Candace?
I am doing wonderful, Tony. Great to be on your show and joining you for today's podcast.
I'm very excited. There's so many things that I'm sure we're going to have great conversations about. But let's start with just sharing a little bit of the Candace Gottlieb Clark story.
Okay, sure. Well, to tell you a bit about me and how I got here, my passion from the time I was a high school student, really, was to find a way to make the workplace better. And that came because I lived with a single parent and my mom had to support the family and she was an executive assistant. She didn't have a high paying job and she didn't feel she had a lot of opportunities if she lost her job. So she put up with working for people that didn't treat her well, that left her angry and frustrated and feeling stuck. And that wasn't, you know, a bad place for her, but she brought it home. And unfortunately that lent itself to her being also unhappy and the personal world that she lived in was affected by it. And so from a young age, I thought, you know, there needs to be a way that the workplace is positive, that people can, you know, not just have this as a place that they punch in, punch out and collect a paycheck, but a place where they feel valued and enjoy it and enjoy the people. And, you know, even though it took me about 12 years from that point forward before I found a way in to create change in the workplace, that is still the kernel of my passion, is that people should be able to enjoy the places they work. So I don't know if that tells you enough about me, but it's I think a good background for what we'll talk about today.
It's a very good background. And because let's talk about your company first. So you have a company called Dynamic Team Solutions. Tell me about what it is that you do there.
Well, Dynamic Team Solutions, we support clients in the ways that everybody basically has the need with people.
Yeah.
Our specialty is interpersonal workplace relations and ensuring that teams function well together and are collaborative and cohesive. Leaders are strong and effective and are able to really make effective change in an organization, in the world, depending on what they do. And, you know, we help everything from communication to conflict management. You know, we really just get in there and help businesses. And obviously in today's world, a lot of our work also focuses on shifts in culture.
Yeah. Yeah. So conflict is just one of those things that happen in a workplace. Is there a goal for organizations and teams to actually try and operate in a conflict-free zone, or is that even possible based on your experience?
I would say it is not possible, and beyond that, it is not desirable, which is probably going to make people, you know, pull their hair out and say, what? That's all I want. Conflict is actually really productive and healthy if it's purposeful. And that doesn't mean just hurt feelings that people walk around, but where people can actually process through the things that are ruffling their feathers. And the reason I say it's desirable is when you have exceptionally talented, passionate, dedicated people, you are going to create friction because they all want what's best. They all want to shine. And that's going to mean there's conflicts of interest at times. That is going to cause places where one person's idea might be in contradiction of another person's and they both are convinced theirs is the best. They're so enthused and passionate. That kind of passion lends itself to conflict. So it's not a bad thing. It's just a manner of knowing to challenge it. And I'd like to add, and letting go of that, let's just agree to disagree dismissal of friction, which just lends itself to festering and problems that just get larger over time.
I'd imagine there's quite a skill set that people would need to be able to have that healthy, vibrant discussion. Because a vibrant discussion to some may be a bullying discussion potentially, or a withdrawal discussion with another person. So what sort of skills do you look to how you can help leaders develop those vibrant conversations that we need to have?
That's an excellent question, Tony. And I think there's some things that I'm going to put out there that are things they can learn to do, but I think there's a degree to which some people have the skill set and others do not. Okay. And that's just true with any level of talent. You know, we all have a degree to which we're good at things. And one thing I love to remind people when it comes to communication, people will always say they need communication skills and then push back at the idea that they could learn anything. And it's because we're all experts at communicating. We've been doing it from the time we were babies, right? We've communicated our needs and everybody else is the one who's wrong. But it's that very idea is that we all communicate differently. And so the same thing is true with conflict. We experience conflict differently. Different things trigger us and people have to be mindful of the idea that what bothers you does not dictate what bothers someone else. And there's no right and wrong to it. It just is. And you have to go through that process of being accepting of the fact that what really gets under someone's skin is a valid problem for them, even if it's not valid to anyone else. Yeah. And one of the philosophies that I talk about in my book, and it's a big part of my mental state whenever I'm working with businesses and clients, and even in my personal life, is to have the mental place of saying, vindicate, don't villainize. In other words, always look for the good in what somebody was attempting. Yes, it may have looked like their behavior was self-serving or unkind or thoughtless or, you know, lacking in accountability, but ask them questions from a standpoint of saying, you must have had good reason. Can you help me to understand it? And their good reason doesn't mean it's everybody's good reason. But when you start from that standpoint, people will be forthcoming. They'll be honest. They'll tell you what's going on because they don't feel like they're going to be punished for it. They feel like you just genuinely want to understand them and see what was correct about their thinking.
I love that concept that people reach out for communication skills and then basically don't learn anything new because we think our communication is absolutely spot on. So I love that concept. And it's something that we see time and time again. People want to get balance in their life. People want to become better leaders. People want to be more focused on a goal, but then rebel against the idea that they should be learning or doing something new. And often it's the learning, it's the doing that is the bit of the disconnect. So how did you develop your business and what was the compelling reason why you got into this side of collaboration, team collaboration, dynamic team solutions paints a picture around what it is that you do. What was the compelling reason you went into that specific niche?
Well, you know, it came to be, as I mentioned, my passion that evolved from youth and seeing the workplace wasn't quite right. And I didn't have an early knowledge of how to get in that realm of changing things. But when I was about 30 years old, I fell into the world of mediation and conflict resolution. And there's different models for it, but I fell into the transformative model, which really helps people to get down to the root levels of what's wrong. It's not just a financial transaction. It's not just a negotiation. Yeah. It's a genuine transformation of viewpoint. And so when I first began in my business, that was my focal point. But a lot of my clients had needs that stretched beyond an item that would be directly identified as conflict. They had team dysfunction. They had a leader that wasn't quite as effective. And so slowly but surely, my business started taking on more team and collaborative assignments and facilitative ones and culture-oriented ones, as well as things that were maybe a one-on-one to develop somebody's skill set, because maybe they were creating a lot of conflict without even recognizing they were doing it. And so that led to executive coaching. And through that, I realized, you know, my business isn't just mediation, it's teams. And so the name kind of fell into that, and the business grew organically from what was initially focused on mediation to performing a bunch of other services and even developing a team around me that helped to provide services to our clients.
Excellent. I love the fact that it started when you're a teenager and you saw these things happening in the workforce. Today, what they would do is put that out as a TikTok video, having a bit of a joke at that particular leader who's the dysfunctional leader. So I'm glad that you're actually able to take something that you saw and witnessed and actually made a career about it. So tell me about your book, Find, Fix, and Fill Your Leadership Gap.
Well, in the years that I've worked in my business, which, it's been 22 years now since I started working in the world of conflict resolution and working with businesses and leaders, I've worked with hundreds of businesses, thousands of leaders, and I have come to learn, and this is actually part of what I introduce in the book, that people really do, leaders really do have very positive intentions, even when they're doing the worst possible things that are creating turmoil in their teams. And often they're completely blind to the issues they're creating. They see all these issues that might be happening within their teams, within their direct reports, organizationally, and they don't recognize how much of it stems back to them. And very early on in my career of working with businesses, I realized I needed to find a different path toward letting these leaders know this. And so before I'd even start an engagement, I'd say to whoever was bringing me in, the CEO or the executive director, I'd say, if I find any of the circumstances I'm helping to resolve stem back to you, how would you like me to let you know? And without exception, they would be humble and often amused, and they'd say, well, of course it's going to stem back to me. I just want you to come tell me. And it made it so easy for me to come back to them and say, hey, Bob, do you remember that time I brought up X, Y, and Z? And their immediate response would be something akin to, what did I do? And so it really was a genuine way of learning how honestly business leaders want to do well. They want to create strong teams. They want to help them thrive. They don't want to stand in the way, and yet they do. And so this book pulls from all the work I've done, and as I was writing it and sharing the information and using stories to do so, I also realized there's three core strengths, and I call them the pillars of leadership that really dictate whether or not a leader's skills are going to lead to success for their team or tumultuousness. And those three pillars in my world are like a three-legged stool. They are trust, and it goes far beyond honesty, trust, role clarity, and conflict management. And with any of those, if any of them are weak, the other two immediately will start to crumble, and there will be impact everywhere. And I use storytelling in my book to describe through these different and their past clients who have been anonymized, but to describe just how those different pillars really do intricately tie to every aspect of a leader's success or failure.
So
I should
trust
say success or
role.
struggle. I like that better.
So trust, role clarity, and conflict management. So I can certainly see them as three very, very strong pillars that any sort of a leader would need. One of the things that I believe is that trust is the foundation of everything that's great in our lives at the moment. And when you think back on what's great about your leadership, your career, your business, your clients, your customers, your family relationships, your partner, trust is such an amazing component of each and every relationship. And usually when you see relationships start to falter is when you start to see there's been some leak in the old trust bucket, as Covey would tell us. So when we're talking leaders, a lot of leaders tend not to think that they've got a gap. So they may think that they're well-rounded, they may think their communication's strong, they may think their behaviors are one that should be trusted. How do you deal with a leader that doesn't see a gap for themselves, that always believes it's everyone else's issue and not their own?
Frankly, I've had some leaders that did, and I just try and remind them that we have those blind spots. There's that parable. I know what I know. I know what I don't know, but I don't know what I don't know. And that's really the biggest part. We don't realize all the things we don't know, all the blind spots. And that's something I try and encourage leaders to explore early on. That's why I start with that conversation of saying, if I find things stem back to you, because I'm bringing it up at such an innocuous point that they really have no reason to say, don't tell me, or nothing ever could. They're already acknowledging it. But before I had learned that important lesson, I had a leader who just pushed back, and he unfortunately ended up being forced out of the organization because of his failure to notice it. You know, there was just an ongoing level of turmoil, and it was very difficult to find out what was causing it. I spent months working with this organization and finally was able to boil it all down to this very crazy labyrinth of what was really going on. And when I did, I realized he was the root of it, and he was very well-meaning. He referred to himself as a benevolent dictator, and which says something about him on its own, right? But he genuinely wanted to do well. He genuinely cared about his people. He didn't in any way intend to create the problems he was creating, and so he couldn't see through the fog to his own responsibility. You know, every single step he made was with good intention, so how could the end result be bad?
So the good intention.
And unfortunately, I don't have a clear answer other than to recommend those people read my book, buy it for them, and give it as a gift. Gift it to those leaders. You will get it. Give them a step in the right direction.
Yeah, often good intention isn't enough when it comes to leadership. And you may not necessarily mean to harm people, but fundamentally some leaders' behaviours harm people. And they may genuinely talk about, I care for my team, I need them to perform, but then their behaviour is almost telling you otherwise. So those little blind spots that we have are really something that leaders should have some awareness about, or some capacity to take on awareness about. So I think that's really important. The new worlds of business since COVID sort of came into existence, and we've all started working from home or leading remote teams in a lot of cases, I won't say in all cases, the concept of remote leadership continually comes up now with some of the leaders that I work with. Their teams often will work at home or want to work from home, and even when they're in the office, they're not necessarily fully engaged as what they were previous to maybe the COVID pandemic. How does all of what you do relate when you may have a remote team, or even you're a startup in Great Britain who's got an employee in the Philippines, an employee in Silicon Valley, and that's the team. How do people use what you work with, what you specialize with, those remote teams that we're now working with more and more?
I think that's such an important question. And I do get asked that a lot, because it's the struggle, it's the pain point that businesses are having right now, that leaders are experiencing. And there's a few things I'd like to share about that. One is that it doesn't necessarily change the business. It changes how you build connection. Yeah. And the connection is still important. In fact, more so when people don't have the day-to-day, can just tap someone on the shoulder or see how they're doing when you walk into their office by the mounds of paper or the phone ringing. You know, when you're online, you're not even seeing the person, but you're working with them, you cannot know what else is happening. And so there must be a far greater degree of intention in learning what's happening in someone's world, in connecting. Everything from starting a conversation with saying, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your focus right now for us having this conversation? You know, so it just starts the conversation where people can be really transparent with, I'm distracted by 17 other things and a sick kid and you know, a delivery person who just dropped off something, you know, who knows what. And those can happen. But I think in the past, I think leaders looked at their way of connecting with their teams as they could sort of dial it in, just show up at the meetings and just, you know, be available for office hours. Now it has to be different. And I think where it may have been before, a, you know, 5% of my time is spent connecting, 95% is other parts. It may be 70-30 now. 30% of your time may need to be devoted to trying to build connection so that you have that trust, so that you create cohesion. And that, you know, helps to create that bond between people, not just the leader and that staff person, but them with each other. And that builds to the part that connects with part of my book, which is the role clarity piece. One of the highlights that I talk about with role clarity is that a leader needs to know their job, but also everybody on the team needs to know each other's jobs. I mean, we've all been to those hideous meetings, those, you know, monthly meetings that we have with our staff where everybody reports in on what they're doing, and they're tragically boring, and nobody wants to talk about what they're doing because who cares, and nobody wants to hear what anybody else is doing. But if you create it where everybody knows the impact on each other, where that's the conversation is, what help do I need? What help can I give? How can I support this process? And having full clarity of what each person having full clarity of what their role means to everyone else.
Yeah.
If they are too slow, how does that affect them? If they don't get something done on time, how does that affect them? How does their work support other people's? When a meeting is about that, and you're talking about what you're actually doing, what is actually the level of interaction in the work beyond the conversations.
Yeah.
That's what builds connection and collaboration. That's what can transform, even for remote workforce, the ways people feel connected and collaborative with each other.
Yeah, very much so. I'm seeing it must be just maybe on my social media feeds, but I'm seeing a plethora of adverts for things like monitoring software and employee accountability software, where there's like tracking software on company systems to actually ascertain that you're typing in buttons and your mouse is moving and all of these things. Now, when I see that, I'm sort of thinking, that's a really distrusting thing from an organization. What's your view on things like that when you've got a remote team or you've got people that are working now from home instead of in the office, and putting that sort of software to hold them accountable to their work time or whatever the reason may be? What's your thoughts?
Tony, I agree with you completely. It is just, it dismantles trust. It just tells your employees that they are there only to service the company. They aren't there as a part of a team. Because, you know, going back to that role clarity piece, when you develop people's ability to recognize how they impact others and how they support others and what more they can do and what more they can offer, and you engage people in that way, they are accountable. They take ownership. They support each other. They pitch in. You don't need to have them punch a clock or prove how often their mouse is moving, because the outcomes speak for themselves and the connections are profound. And if somebody's not matching the culture or the team, then you can work with that individual, see if you can get them into the right place. And if not, then you thank them very much for the support and work they did put in, and you see them to the door and find the right fit for your team. But you don't need to, I mean, that level of distrust, I think we probably are very much of the same thought, that that is just, it undermines further what's already a difficult situation of being remote.
Yeah, very much so. And the question is genuinely raised within the staff member, why are they doing this? Don't they think I'm working? Aren't I producing the results that they need? And especially if you're producing the results that the organization needs, it really does sort of say, it's almost like a micromanagement tool, which often never works out well. So Candace, tell me, who's been your inspiration in your journey?
You know, I think there's so many different people I could say. I'd say my mom, not because she tried to be, but because I learned from her example that the world should not be that way when it came to work. And I'd say so many of the clients I worked with who showed me by the experience of working together that they genuinely, they had such heart to help their team, and they were willing to change. They just didn't know that they needed to, and they didn't know how to. And I was able to do that. So they inspired me. They are part of why the book was written. They, and then the many people who said, can't you just put all those thoughts into writing so I can have them? Because we'd be in a conversation, or I'd speak at a conference and they'd just love what I had to say and they wish they had a way to take it home. So, you know, those are who inspire me, and they do keep me excited to keep moving forward, to keep helping more people.
Excellent. As we know, our business journey is never one of a straight line to success. We get our ups and we get our downs. And so I'm interested to understand, what is your relationship like with that word that we all hate to hear, failure? So what is your relationship with failure?
You know, I mean, like anybody, failure hurts. You have that moment where you kind of lick your wounds and you feel embarrassed or angry or sad or whatever. But I am a Pollyanna. I'm, you know, as my mother used to say, I always look at the bright side of things. I almost reflexively will think of, what did I learn? What can I take away from this so that I feel there was a purpose in the failure, and that will help me to just take the pill that I took and move forward with growth rather than anger.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent. It is something that so many people tend to learn in time, that sitting in your own sorrow, feeling sorry for yourself for days and days on end actually benefits no one, and it certainly doesn't benefit the individual. So for them to be able to then start picking it apart and finding out what it is that they learned from it, that they can move forward with, is a real lesson and a learning. So when we're looking at our future and we're looking at whether it's the vision that we've got for what it is that we do, what excites you about your vision or what your future impact is going to be within the leadership landscape?
You know, I've done speaking and writing for a long time. I finally put together the book as we're talking about today. It was my first book. I have potentially three more inside me, because when I first started drafting that one and culling all the notes I had from years and years of jots, I realized I had four separate topics all related to the business world. So this one's leadership, there's one on teamwork and one on conflict and one on human resources. Yeah. One day I might write those other three. We'll see how much energy I have. I'm taking a small break from that right now. But I love being able to have an impact, and I love travel. So being able to travel, do keynotes, make a difference is going to be tremendous. And while I cannot do it extensively, I still have children at home that I enjoy spending time with. You know, I see a future where that becomes more and more a part of my world, because I enjoy it so much. And both of those things should be a part of my life.
Excellent. So your book is called Find, Fix, Fill Your Leadership Gap. And no doubt it's available on Amazon. But how else can people connect with you, Candace?
Well, they can go to my website, which is dynamicteamsolutions.org. And you can actually even at the bottom of every page of my website is an opt-in to get a 2 free chapter segment of the book, so that you can check it out before you even buy it and see if it is the right book for you, or the right book to send off to that leader that you wish would learn some lessons that they have not yet. I've had people also tell me it's very good for aspiring leaders to get on the right track early on.
Excellent. And it's no doubt going to become a valuable part of the toolkit for what we aim to do, and that's build tomorrow's best leaders. Candace, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for investing in today's leaders.
Thank you, Tony. And I'm so glad to be on your podcast today and joining your audience. And I appreciate all that you do.
Excellent. If you're looking to build better leadership skills, check out the Today's Leader website at todaysleader.com.au. We really are driving a leadership revolution to build tomorrow's best leaders today. Today's Leader is a collective, the mindset to make a difference, the ability to create an impact. Think and Grow Business hosts our Today's Leader Mastermind. Think and Grow Business, where we focus on personal, professional, and business growth. Book your free 30-minute discovery call right from the homepage at thinkandgrowbusiness.com.au. Don't forget, wherever you are standing stronger, braver, and wiser. Don't forget the golden rule. Don't be an arsehole. I'll see you all again next week. Bye for now.